There we go.
Oh, you have your own building. That's impressive.
Yeah, that's
wow.
We're just there.
We only take up floors 2 through 4.
Oh, okay.
So, no, actually, this is the new Information Commons building at Loyola, and a kind of, you know, one of those kind of showcase buildings. It's green certified, and it's beautiful. And we do have the use of the upstairs, the whole upper floor there. It looks out onto Lake Michigan.
And shades come down, and they're slowly showing slides.
There are robots running the place.
I always knew you were a robot.
The center, such as it is a tiny, a lean and kind of ad hoc in some ways, kind of coalition, a kind of you know, it's what Mark Sample is telling us on Twitter to remember to call tactical collaboration in some ways for certain purposes of the moment, and we don't live in that building. Per se,
we're in a little place.
see the little Art Deco building to the left. That's the old library, and there's a tunnel that connects it with a nice espresso cafe. But we're over there, way over in the dark part of the building where the books are.
And the squirrel's nest in the tree.
Exactly. and we're happy to be there. We're 2 doors down from archives, and we've already begun to collaborate in tactical ways with the librarians, and especially the special collections there. But the illustration seems to me to point in these two different, you know, the then and now, the university's aspirations and its existing infrastructure. And really, we are between. We use the building on the right. We have a little space over on the left. And we're trying to kind of find our place in the institution. And so the betweenness, what other people have called the fragility or the precariousness of these kinds of centers, is really demonstrated dramatically in our case. So slide 2, please.
Oh, there is no slide.
Yeah, there is 3.
There's 3.
Oh, so now
excellent. Thank you so much. And this is the front door of the center itself there in the middle, which is a center of a kind of, it defines its own sort of loosely affiliated periphery, you see, so as these things have grown out. So it actually is the joint of production of computer science and English, as I said, in a kind of flat structure at the top. We have 2 co-directors, 2 equal sort of partners in this, me and George Thiravathakal, a professor in computer science. And those are our knees. And then they're supported by internal funds, 2 research stimulation grants, they're called, from the Graduate Dean and Associate Provost Office for Research on one hand, and then from an NEH startup grant on the other hand, attached to our first year, this flagship research project. It's directed by the guy some of you know off to the right there, who's not really formally affiliated with the center, but is an endowed chair in English and textual studies, and is sort of the spiritual leader of the enterprise or something. So there is this kind of loose affiliation that nevertheless is very important, and especially when it comes to negotiating with the administration or instance. So, but off the slide, I was going to say, we answer to the Dean of College of Arts and Sciences, and that's telling in many ways within our university, because off the slide there would be other centers of excellence that are from the president's and provost's office directly, and have endowments that support them, and we don't, and decided, elected to get going anyway without that, and therefore we're supported by the Dean of College of Arts and Sciences. And this offers opportunities, as we say, in game theory, affordances as well as constraints. Right, so we're trying to work with both. And then besides those centers of excellence that are off the screen, there are other kinds of affiliations that contribute along these porous boundaries in tactical ways. So that, for instance, I didn't draw it, there's not a graphic for it, but off the screen on George's side would be his own lab, Emerging Technologies Lab. You know, he has his own sort of little server farm downtown Chicago with money from Microsoft and so on, but he has a lot of freedom in how that's used, and it's providing us with storage, for instance, as well as certain kinds of resources. So he brings graduate assistants to the center as part of his general mission as the director of that lab working in an interdisciplinary space. And then I bring a graduate research assistant every year from the English department who's also committed to doing digital humanities work with me. Then we have one work study student, a kind of administrative kind of person so far. And then Peter's a kind of unofficial kind of consultant. And that is the staff right now. But I want to say this is all in some ways context for what we're doing next, which is a new MA program, very small, lean MA program in digital humanities starting next fall. And the initial hire has been approved for this year for a faculty position, but a non-tenure track faculty position. And in negotiating for this position, we the give and take resulted in this, it being a non-tenure track position in the center, rather than with a tenure home in either English or computer science or history, for instance, is also an active member of this group. But we negotiated a workload that in our institution is defined as research active. So it's the same workload I have, for instance, when I'm not doing these sort of default research active workload in terms of teaching, and the teaching is exclusively in the MA program and directed students. And then there is built into that research. The person's own research is part of this, but it's defined in terms of participating in their own in the research projects of the center. And we deliberately left it open in that way because we don't know who's going to apply for the job or get it yet. And we think we need that kind of flexibility to define what the kind of participation that we're doing once we see who it is. Okay, I should go to slide 3. I don't want to take up more time. This is, I don't know if you know this game, this is World of Goo. And it seems to me an apt allegory for the everything
like
you're talking
dumb.
About. I mean,
yeah.
In a way, it goes back to
Let's
Tanya's metaphor again.
Never the best metaphor ever.
And I don't mean to imply that my institution or anyone else's is like the World of Goo Corporation. But there is a sense in which we're building a precarious structure that's interdisciplinary in the sense that it's hanging out in space, connected precariously to these sort of existing supports. And, you know, I don't know if anybody else has played the game, but you see those live goo balls swirling along there. And as you build these structures in a way, they can become too heavy on one side and collapse. Or, in fact, as you see in the center there, we just want to make sure that the people that come into this cluster from all these different directions aren't the sacrificial goo balls that have to meet the saw blade in order for the whole structure to survive. Right? And think about that. that's it.
Someone tweeting sacrificial.
It's the new hashtag.
Not sacrificial.
I know. Steve, how many people aside from that new hire are staff that are supporting the projects that you hope to bring in?
Yeah, we actually have, you know, the existing project has staff, but those people working on the project under the grant, for instance, are not formally part of the center, they're part of the research project. Some of them are overseas, for instance, or they're, you know, somebody. So there's a team of maybe 5 people that are programmers on that project, that supportive project.
Right.
So there's a question of who's actually affiliated with the center, who's working on these projects that are affiliated with the center.
Yeah.
So the center itself, I've named them, that's it.
Okay.
We had the two directors, the consultant and a student assistant, and then our research assistants, if you count that. And then this new faculty hire in the fall will be it for the fall, and we hope to continue to hire. But that's where we're starting.
Okay.